The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Well, not much happened this weekend to talk about. But hey, at least the big dog's back. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model's back. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort, if you want to get in today. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like. You can send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll respond. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At A.J. is the real. At Aaron is blitzed. At Degenerates975. Boy, it's sure nice not to have to memorize a whole bunch of other Twitters. You can also get us on the text line at 713-780-3776, or if you prefer to watch us, you can watch us on Twitch. Just go there right now, put your comments on there. And
if you're a voyeur.
A voyeur. We'll be happy to read them if they're any good, which most of them are. But it's like text line. There's always a few idiots. And I was being sarcastic about nothing happening this weekend. I want to make that clear. Welcome back, man.
Sports happened.
Yeah, lots of sports.
I see we got a new cooler here in the studio.
Yes.
For the official water of ESPN 97.5.
Nice.
What's the name of the water, Aaron?
Seaforce Water by Chuck Norris.
Seaforce Water by Chuck Norris.
That's the one where he like struck the ground.
He struck the ground and it cried.
Yeah.
He heard you were thirsty.
Yep. I am thirsty. I'm going to go grab one of those.
I wouldn't do that.
Why not?
The cooler is set
too cold.
To freezer mode.
Ah.
So all of our we have an official ice.
Okay.
Of 97.
Well, I'll go get one and put it out here where it's 150 degrees and within 10 minutes I'll have something to drink.
Okay.
So there's that. So how was Oregon, man?
Glorious. Yeah, man,
I saw some pictures, and
it's an amazing place, man.
Little better than around here. We'll just say that.
Well, I will. The weather was better.
That doesn't take much.
Yeah, I kept seeing people here either bitching about it raining or it being hot, and that those things didn't happen where I was at.
Yeah, that was it. There was no in between. It either rained or you melted.
It was hot one day up there, which meant it was 91 degrees.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I'd kill for 91.
Brutal 91 degrees. Most days were like in the mid 80s, and then at night it gets down to like the 60s. It's a beautiful place, man. It really is. I was either hiking or swimming or drinking beer pretty much the whole time. So it was a great time.
That doesn't suck.
No.
And then you come back to this.
And then I'm back to this.
Yeah. Where, let's see, what did you miss? You missed the Astros making a big deal. You missed, well, several deals.
Several.
You missed you being right. About Aaron Sanchez.
That was my best I told you so in a long time.
I think that had to kill you to not be able to be here and say, remember when I brought this up and you'd be able to get him on the cheap, which you did, and you picked up another pretty decent reliever for
Derek Fisher, who's now, I mean, he basically had become a C-level prospect. He was no longer the prospect he was a year or two ago. And you got back Aaron Sanchez, who, like I said, if he can stay healthy and Brent Strom can work his magic on him, then you're going to have a stud. I don't know if he'll stay a stud. And I saw a lot of people on Twitter. This was an interesting thing. I was in Seattle when I was watching that game, so I was watching the Mariners television broadcast. And everybody on Twitter was saying, why would they pull him out in the sixth inning or whatever it was? And I mean, his pitch count was getting high, but I guess what the Mariners broadcast showed that I don't know if the Astros broadcast did show was they were looking at his hand, and Aaron Sanchez has had a history of blisters on his fingers.
Yeah, they actually mentioned that.
And he was like, blood was pouring down his hand. So, yeah, you take your pitcher out of the game when his pitching hand is bleeding. That's the time to pull him.
Plus, it just from a confidence standpoint, I mean, the guy's just thrown six no-hit innings for you after
losing 13 games in a row. Yeah, let that guy have his win.
Yeah, yeah. And it was cool that they finished off the no-hitter, but I mean, for one game, obviously, he's not going to go out and throw six no-hit innings probably ever again. But the
if he's your fifth starter,
well, and
I think you could be in really good shape.
And something you said about it is if they get the guy fixed and get him back to what he was, that could be your third starter next year. And moving ahead, and one of the best things about the trade, I think they they have Garrett Cole insurance now with Zach Greinke if they can't re-sign Cole.
Yep. Well, I think that's exactly what it, I don't think they're re-signing Garrett Cole.
I think they're going to try, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I think they're going to try the same kind of way they tried to sign Charlie Morton, which is basically they're going to offer him much less than what he's worth, and Charlie Morton's going to, or Garrett Cole's going to go somewhere else and get money.
Somebody's going to pay him. But I like the fact that now you're set up for next year, too.
Yeah.
And that's the best part about it. And the Sanchez acquisition, which is why I'm glad you're back to talk about, because that's a guy that, I don't want to overreact to his one start, because obviously you can't fix everything right away. They did change a lot of what he does, throwing more curveballs and throwing the four-seamers up, which is kind of what the Astros do. And I read a breakdown of the pitches he threw there versus what he was throwing in Toronto. And so obviously they recognize something. But if you get that guy right, you got McCullers back next year. If next year's starting four off the top is Verlander, Greinke, McCullers, and a right Aaron Sanchez,
in good shape.
You're in really good shape.
Because, I mean, let's face it, Wade Miley, he's probably pitched well enough this year that someone will give him a couple years, a couple year deal. I mean,
I think he's going to get a Charlie Morton contract.
He did a prove it deal, and he proved it.
Yeah.
So someone will pay him some money, and he'll be happy. But yeah, you're not going into next season with a shell of the team that you like. They came into this season with basically a shell of what they had the year before. They had Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole, and I mean, a bunch of fingers crossed.
Right.
And, you know, looks. I mean, you're going to have some. Again, Aaron Sanchez is still a maybe. That's one game.
Right. But if it winds up.
It was enough to make me right, because he came in and threw a no-hitter, so I was still right that it was good to trade for him. But if he's never he's never the guy again, big deal. But you've got now two guys who are going to be with the team for a couple more years that are as good as any top two guys in the league, damn near. So I think they did a good job setting themselves up for the future. And they were willing to give up some of their top prospects, which they didn't give up Tucker or Whitley, which, okay, if you didn't have to, great. They gave up
three, 4, and 5, although, I mean, I think you might have to reevaluate Martin, considering he's having Tommy John and he's gone for a year and a half, but they gave up 3, 4, and 5. They gave up some really good
prospects. Beer was the guy that was interesting because he plays a position where they're going to have a need. But I guess they think Tucker can maybe play first base long term.
Yeah, or maybe they can get Alvarez up to speed there too. And that's the thing. They've got guys. And the best part about it, and I wrote this last week for Sports Map, is going into next season, let's not forget the fact that they're World Series favorites now.
Yeah.
But going into next season, the only two key members of this roster that aren't under control are Miley and Cole.
That's it.
So you're in a really good spot moving forward. You've extended your window. And, I just love the deal. I really did. I love both of them. I think Biagini adds another arm to that bullpen. They're going to have to cut a good pitcher at some point.
Yeah.
When they get Presley and Peacock. There's one other guy that when he comes back. But they're going to have to cut a decent pitcher. And they've already cut one decent player in Tony Kemp, and they turned that into a positive in one of those need-for-need things. The Cubs can use Tony Kemp. The Astros could use Maldonado. Cubs didn't need him anymore. I mean, I think they're really well set up.
I'm excited about what they're doing. And, it's also good because you see the Yankees, who we've been talking about as their biggest competition, basically sit on their hands. And I don't have much of an explanation for that, but awesome for the Astros.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I've been saying all along, make a move now because you know the Yankees are going to make a move. And they kept waiting and waiting. I was like, God, the Yankees are going to come in and swoop in and they're going to get some badass dude. And we're all going to be going, damn it. Why didn't the Astros get that guy?
And now you got Yankees fans saying, damn it, why didn't we get that guy?
That's exactly what happened. And, I mean, it's best case scenario, really. So You know, I get a lot of grief for not being a fan of the local teams, and you know, people say, "Oh, you work here, you should support the local teams," which I think is a bunch of trash, if you ask me. I'll support a team when they warrant being supported.
Yeah, but that's a fan take, and that's fine. If you're a fan, it's okay you have that take. It's just silly.
But the Astros are a team that they're easy to cheer for. They're doing the right things. They're constantly working to improve their team. You know, they're not just going after guys because they've got a big name. They're not just they're not sitting on a bunch of cap space and just, you know, well, we're good enough. They're not going into an offseason where they basically signed zero decent running backs and saying, "Oh, we're good at running back," and then cutting a guy, you know, 2 weeks later. It's just
whatever do you mean, AJ?
I don't know. But they are running an organization the way you want to see it run. They built this thing from literally the ground up. I mean, it was junk. And they turned it into a winner. And then they start – So it's mostly a homegrown team, and then they said, "Okay, our homegrown team is good enough now. Let's supplement it with some solid veterans," and now you've got a year in, year out contender that keeps extending its window. It's really well done. I'm happy with the way the Astros have set themselves up, and I'll be honest, I think with what they did at the trade deadline, anything can happen. But to me, the Astros have won the American League. They are the best team in the American League now. The Yankees, if they're ever healthy, which it doesn't seem they're going to be. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton's played in like five games or something like that all season long. You know, Aaron Judge has missed over half the season. That's just not a healthy team. And they bring in Encarnacion. He's now out for 6 weeks. They can't catch a break health-wise. It's a credit to them to be where they are, given what they've dealt with. And you're probably going to see Manager of the Year awards handed out there in New York, which is an odd thing to think, but it's probably well-deserved. But the Astros on paper have the best team in the American League. And if there was any doubt before the trade deadline, I don't think there's any doubt now. And to me, I'm already looking at pitching matchups between the Astros and the Dodgers and salivating because the idea of a World Series where we get to see Verlander, Kershaw, Garrett Cole, Hyun-Jun Ryu, and Zach Greinke versus Walker Buehler is like, oh my God, it's baseball sex. I mean, it's going to be awesome. And you can write it down in your notebook now. Those two teams, that's who's playing.
Well, that's who it should be. And obviously, especially in a five-game series, you can go cold at the wrong time. And we've seen it before that there have been great teams that don't get out of their league. So it's no guarantee, but there's nothing else they could have done to put themselves in position to win the American League than what they did. And so from that perspective, you got to be happy. All right. As for the Texans, you know what? So for those of you who are all happy about the positive vibes to start the show, we might take a little bit of a turn here in the next segment. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz. The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy Monday. Good to have the team back together. Don't think there'll be any more lengthy absences for either one of us for a while.
That's not in the plans anyway.
Yeah, it's that time of year, so got the team back together and ready to rock and roll here as we head into football season. Before we get to your beloved Texans, a couple of thoughts. Somebody has thoughts on the reports that the Astros offered Bregman in 2017 for Michael Fulmer. I saw that. I'm going to say I don't buy it. considering they wouldn't offer the guy for Chris Sale. I don't really.
Well, now remember, the difference was Michael Fulmer was on a rookie contract and was cheap and controllable. But either way, thank God they didn't.
Yeah,
Michael Fulmer is probably never going to be the same guy anymore.
That story just kind of struck me as, boy, this is one of those could have been speculation stories that I don't really believe. So
yeah.
maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but I'm not buying it. I think going back there, the way they – well, I think you have a perfect example right now. They believe in Forrest Whitley. They believe in Kyle Tucker to the point that they would not include them in a deal. They felt the same way about Bregman. And I was always skeptical of it. I didn't think he was the player that they saw.
Well, to be fair, they feel that way about basically every prospect that comes through their system.
But again, they just gave up Seth Beer, and they just gave up Bukauskas, who they've been praising the same way. But I think they have certain guys that they believe are going to be core pieces for a while, and they're not going to move them. So I don't necessarily buy it. And it comes out of the Detroit camp, which also kind of strikes me as, gosh, our rebuild would be so much farther ahead if we'd gotten this. There was somebody else they mentioned,
right?
Yeah, that from the Cubs. That so they wouldn't have gotten them both, that's for sure. But yeah, not quite buying it. And somebody asked, is there any thoughts offering Cole a ridiculous 2 to 3 year contract? The revenues will still be. I think
Cole's going to get a 6 to 7 year contract for $30 million a year.
But I'm not. I'm not as pessimistic about Cole as a lot of people are. I do think if they win the World Series and they have a lot of extra revenue, then they may very well go ahead and pay him $30 a year.
The problem is with the extra revenue that, I mean, when you look at attendance is down from a year ago. I mean,
it'll pick up now, though. It picked up this weekend considerably.
Yeah.
Although people left in the ninth inning of a no-hitter. That was real well done.
Including Barry Laminack.
Barry did that?
Yeah, what a toad. That guy, he's like, oh, I had some place to be. Shame. So I left with one out in the ninth. What? He had to go to some play or something, and you can't be like, okay, I had to stay for two more outs so I could see a no hitter.
Barry's
not going to be on the press pass list next year. That's a joke.
I don't mind you leaving in a 9-2 game where, you know, that's fine. You want to get out, but it's Saturday night. The hell else you got going on?
Yeah.
Well, we know what Barry had going on. Apparently, I love the guy, but what the hell? But no, I think the attendance will pick up here big time down the stretch. The excitement over Greinke and you know, I think it was, you probably saw it on Twitter, so you picked up quite a bit of it, man. But the city was just fired up about it.
Absolutely.
This. So I think that'll translate into
As they should be. They literally did everything that they said they wanted to do.
Yeah.
They wanted to get a backup catcher. They got one. And it, by the way, the Cubs lose their catcher now. He's hurt, and they're like, oh,
yep.
Whoops. Damn it.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Can he flunk a physical or something and send him back?
Let's talk this out.
I know he's played a few games already. Of course, Chirinos is out, too, so the Astros needed him.
Yeah. So I think they got that right. They got help in the bullpen. They got help. They got two starters. I mean, they did all the things that they wanted to do. And as long as they stay healthy now, they're in good shape.
Well, but getting back to the Cole thing, when you talk about attendance, it's not just that. You think about the lines around Academy to buy World Series championship shirts and hats and everything else, and how much additional revenue they got off of that.
Well, but then the other thing to consider is, you know, if you pay Cole a bunch of money, are you saying goodbye to George Springer? How many $30 million a year guys are you going to have?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. If you invested in pitcher, if you think of it this way.
Is Jim Crane, is he willing to turn this thing into the Yankees?
I can't see any reason why he wouldn't. He's done it all so far. And I'll also throw this out there. You do have Verlander and Greinke for this year and next year. And I guess it's one more for Verlander as a two-year extension.
Yeah.
But if you sign Cole, then, you know, those guys are getting old. Verlander's going to slow down at some point.
Cole's not getting old.
No, Cole, you could sign to a long-term deal, and he could be there forever, and that takes you into your next five-year window. Now, as far as a guy like Springer's concerned, I mean, I think they'll try to re-sign him. I don't know if they'll be able to, but that's where you hope that you're right about Kyle Tucker. I also think if you could move Reddick next year, you could clear, what, $12 to $15 million on his deal. That could help you pay somebody else. I mean, there's things they can do, and, you know, I think it's a – a really, they're just set up perfectly now to where, hey, if they don't bring Cole back, okay.
Okay. But yeah, if they, I mean, it would suck.
Yeah, but they're not going to disappear.
But when you think about what you gave up to get him, and you got a year and a half of, you know, what you've gotten out of Gerrit Cole, okay.
Yeah.
It was worth it. Big deal, we don't get him. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, for what you gave up, fair trade.
Yeah, and more than fair.
Yeah, yeah. So I think there's not really any negative to me to any of the things they've done. And, you know, yeah, at some point you're going to have to sign Correa. At some point you're going to have to sign
Springer. Are you going to have to sign Correa?
I don't know, man. Right now, he looks good, but wait, let's see if his girlfriend beats him up again.
To me, Carlos Correa's got that Manny Machado thing where I'd rather let someone else make that move.
And maybe they
let
will.
Let someone else be the guy who gives that dude the big money. I don't want to be the guy.
Yeah, well.
And if he blows up, cool. But my faith in Carlos Correa over the last few years has shriveled up.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of with you. But now you look at the fact that you've got a guy like Alvarez under control for a long time, and that guy's going to be a stud. Well, he's already a stud. And, yeah, I keep waiting for him to face some adversity to see how he'll respond.
Well, he did. He hit a ball off his leg.
Yeah.
And then he got up and finished the at-bat.
Yeah, and damn near hit it out with one hand.
Yeah.
So, 713-780-ESPN. And we go from the penthouse to the mire of mediocrity that is your beloved Houston Texans. Deontay Foreman, by the way, claimed by the Colts this afternoon. No shock. Good for him.
He goes to a better team, but I'll be honest. I don't think very highly of him at this point. I think the Texans, knowing that, I mean, do we agree the Texans don't really have, like, they don't have a bell cow running back? Lamar Miller is his effectiveness has gone down the more his usage has gone up.
He had a good season last year, but Lamar Miller is probably the 16th best starting running back in the NFL.
He's an average NFL running back.
He's right where you rank every Texans thing.
And after Deontay Foreman, you don't really have anything beyond Lamar Miller, anything that's proven by any stretch. No,
it's a bunch of garbage.
So if they're willing to let Deontay Foreman go, a third-round pick just, what, 2 years ago, then that should tell you a lot. Because the Texans they walk around with egg on their face for second and third round picks. They're probably saying, let's just do anything we can to make this work out. And the guy, he comes in fat. He's late to practice in training camp when all you've got to do is go to practice. He's late to practices. He's still, from what I've heard, has still not improved as a pass blocker, which I said when he got drafted. I mean, he's not just for a guy his size.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a not only not a below average pass protector, he's a horrible pass protector.
And what's worse is from people I've talked to who have been out there, he regressed from bad,
unbelievable.
Yeah, from bad to I don't even know how to describe it. Having said that, once again, I think it shows a real lack of vision in this organization. If you're going to burn a third-round pick, which under the O'Brien era, go look at all the third-round picks. Until they got Reed last year, none of them are on the roster. They're all gone now.
And he's had 1 year, so let's not go bleeping each other's bleeps just yet about him.
It looks like he's going to be a really good third-round pick. But everything else, and
I mean, Deontay Foreman looked that way six, 7 games into his career.
He did. But here's what I don't get. If you're concerned about this guy, and by draft time, I think you would know a little bit whether the guy's going to be back in shape or whatever. Why the bleep are you investing another third-round pick and yet another tight end when there's good running backs on the board? You put nothing in that position at all. And when was the last time they drafted a running back? Foreman.
Yeah.
So it just shows that they have no freaking clue what they're doing. And, you know, and a lot of people asking about Melvin Gordon. McClain already reported that they're not interested.
They're not even going to make a phone call.
And I kind of get that. I would not overpay Melvin Gordon, especially considering he'd be going from behind the Chargers offensive line to this offensive line. I'm not sure he'd be as effective.
And you'd have to pay him.
And you'd have to pay him an awful lot. So I don't understand how. Now you've got three very questionable position groups, frankly. We already were worried about the offensive line. I don't know if they're any better. They're just different. Same thing with the cornerbacks. And now I think you got a big question mark at running back. You got a bunch of guys that, frankly, have never done anything in the league behind Miller. And by the way, he's getting up there. Even if he's still effective, you really think you're going to keep him healthy all year?
That's going to be tough.
So I mean, I think there's...
What's funny is the Colts are... I mean, they've got Marlon Mack and Nyheim Hines are going to be their 1 and 2 running backs.
Right.
I don't even know if Deontay Foreman is going to make the Colts roster. I would, if I were a betting man, I would say he doesn't make the Colts roster because they've got Spencer Ware in camp. They've got Jordan Wilkins in camp. Jonathan Williams.
I'd rather have any of those guys as the Texans' backup, frankly.
I would, too. I mean, Spencer Ware might be the starter here. Damn. I think that Deontay Foreman is. I don't blame the Texans for not keeping Deontay Foreman. I do blame them for not preparing for life after
right.
Deontay
and that's
Foreman.
And that's what I'm getting at. It's okay, fine. If you're going to move on from him, I get it, and I don't care who claims him. Once you cut a guy, the guy's gone. But the fact that they're in this position where they have no viable alternatives is just embarrassing, and it goes back to. To their roster building and how they do things, there's just a lot of holes. And if Bill O'Brien just decided he didn't want this guy because he was pissed off at him, and there's no and you have no checks and balances to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe we should hang on a little longer until we can replace him, then I think that's a real problem too.
I've heard a lot of people say that this Texans offense is going to be special, and I've got to question it. And we'll talk about it on the other side, but there's just so many bad things that could happen to this team, and we got to hit a break. But we got more Texans to talk.
Yeah, you missed an article I wrote last week where I took the three scenarios that could happen to the Texans. One of them is complete implosion.
We'll talk about our Texans on the other side.
Our Texans?
Yeah, that's what we say now.
Oh, okay. I didn't know we were supposed.
You say our Falcons, or if we're talking about the Rockets, we say our Hawks. I mean our Rockets.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Or we say our Braves are going to win the world. I mean, our Astros are going to win the World Series. However you do it.
Can I work on that? That's a hard thing for me because,
it's a real skill.
Like all I can really talk about is our Maple Leafs or our Rough Riders. Nobody cares about that.
No.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you what they do care about. Big City Wings.
Chicken.
Oh, my God. Big City Wings is so good. And, hey, you're going to have a fantasy draft? Guess what? Go do it at Big City Wings. They're big on wings, special sports. And the great thing is they've got TVs everywhere, so if you want to watch a CFL game even, they can get it on for you. They take care of you there. You get a chance to watch whatever you want. It's a family-friendly restaurant. There's something on the menu for everyone. And we'll start with the food, which is fantastic. If you haven't tried their wings, you're missing out. Their wings are great, but they also have burgers. They've got appetizers. I mean, this is a full-fledged, all-over-the-place menu that has great food, all made from scratch. And 8 convenient locations now open. And guess what? Specials every day. You know that. You know how I love the specials. How about this? Today, 70-cent chicken tenders all day and 34-ounce Big Brew Night. You can't beat that. Tomorrow's 2 for Tuesday wings, which is a very popular day. And guess what? If you're coming to the listener appreciation party, you know what you're getting. Big City Wings. Because they're awesome. Find the location nearest you at BigCityWings.com. Also, you can follow them on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's all Big City Wings. BigCityWings.com.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. So, continue, sir. You're on a roll with your Texans. You're supposed to say our Texans. Yeah.
Yeah, our Texans. I forgot even where we were at with the Texans, but... Yeah, it's just when you think about what they've got on offense and the people who say, oh, this, I mean, Deshaun Watson, maybe an MVP candidate. I mean, honestly, outside of Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins, what on this offense do you trust?
Well, and that gets back to the article I wrote, because in a best-case scenario, and the odds of this happening, as I pointed out, are probably less than zero. But, Lamar Miller is functional as a running back. Average, right? We pretty much go with average.
Yeah.
If Will Fuller can stay healthy for the first time in his life, if QT is really what he showed us and can stay healthy, that's a lot of weapons. One of the tight ends has to step up. You can't have missed on all of them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically.
Theoretically, but
any
of those guys, I got this. I guarantee they're
no, good. There's not a single one of these, and that's what I'm saying. This is why this is the absolute best case scenario. That happens, and your offensive line gets better. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. From all, Khalil's looked good, apparently, in practice, but...
That's practice. Khalil's an old man. I mean, he's an old man who's...
Who hasn't played in 2 years.
And he's, he's built to be
he's
look
not,
good
he's
in practice.
He's actually not that old.
Well, he's got an old man's body at this point. How about that?
But he hasn't played in 2 years, so... it's possible that the guy could stay healthy and play well. It's possible that Titus Howard could turn out to be a player for him. All that's possible. But, those are all the things that have to happen and have to go right. And now we're not talking about any injuries either, right?
Right.
And, by the way, the changes you made in the secondary have to make you better. And maybe. That could happen, sure. Is it likely?
Probably not.
And, by the way, you got a full season out of J.J. Watt last year. I don't want to put that evil on him. But do you think that's going to happen again? All that has to happen. And if it does, yeah, they could be potentially explosive. They could be a really good team. But tell me the odds that really happens. Yeah. I think it's more likely Watt gets hurt at some point. Fuller, you almost could bet that he's going to get hurt. Whatever his season numbers are, bet the under, you're fine. The offensive line could be just as bad as last year. That could get Watson hurt. And if that happens, that's the nuclear option there. Everything falls apart. You lose Watson and a couple of key players on defense, you're done. And that's nothing against A.J. McCarron, who I like as a backup.
A.J. McCarron behind this offensive line.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Exactly. So, and then I think more likely, what's most likely for this team is where Vegas has them, which is 8 wins.
I think that's probably right.
I think that because some of the bad things that I talked about are going to happen. Some of the good things I talked about are going to happen. It's not going to be all good. It's not going to be all bad. And, to me, perfect world, everything goes right. I think they could win 11 games with this schedule. None of that stuff is all going to go right.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm gonna say 8 is the number. And, and then at that point.
I mean, if everything goes right, I could see 10 or 11.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I think they're.
But
they're,
that's saying everything
right,
goes right.
Right, and that's what I wrote. The range to me is 11 on the high end, 5 on the low end.
Yeah.
And if everything goes wrong, 5, maybe even worse. Everything goes right, 11. None of that's going to happen. It never works out that way. You don't have a single team that comes out and everything goes right for them. Maybe the Chiefs last year but then at the end of the season, what happens? They lose Kareem Hunt. And they weren't quite the same. But for the most part, you don't go through a whole season where everything works. And, I'm very skeptical. I don't trust Bill O'Brien running the organization, which I don't think that's anything that should surprise anybody. And they just don't have – there doesn't seem to be a vision. The Astros have a vision. It's like, okay, we have a contender. We're going to add these pieces. The Rockets, give them credit, whether it works or not. It's like, dude, we're going to keep adding superstars until we make this thing work. We're going to keep shuffling the deck. And, they keep trying. They're out there battling, as I like to say.
Yeah.
But they're trying. And the Texans, and I got frustrated with them this offseason because I really thought, okay, look at what the Rams did. They went for it last year. And what happened? They got to the Super Bowl. Saints fan, don't say a word. And why not be that team? Why not sign a bunch of guys to a 1-year deal? Why not trade for Trent Williams? They have no interest in trading for Trent Williams. What's the worst that could happen? He could come in and actually be a good left tackle for
you. And
I'll
be honest. I mean, Trent Williams has already told the Redskins, I'm not coming to play for you anymore. They've got no leverage in this situation. You can offer them a sack of magic beans. You probably could offer them Deontay Foreman.
But he'll want a new contract. Okay, so give him more guaranteed money. You got it. What are you holding on to this $40 million for?
Yeah, give him one and let Tytus Howard be a right tackle. And
or you know what? If Matt Khalil is healthy, let him be a right tackle.
Yeah.
Guess what? That would be a dream scenario. If he's back and playing well and you got those two guys on the corner, put Tytus Howard at guard if he's that good.
Yep.
And suddenly you got an offensive line. It's amazing how that works. So 713-780-ESPN. Somebody says, come on, guys, it's Bill O'Brien, gotta be 9-7. Yeah, I think this year
you remember when things went wrong for Bill O'Brien.
Yep. Yeah,
9-7 wasn't even close.
And you know, we've talked about this a lot. Yeah, they won a lot of close games last year. Historically, when you do that, there is a regression the next year, unless you make your team better. Are they better than they were at the end of last year?
I don't think they are.
I don't know. Maybe.
There's a lot of people saying, well, if you get a full season of Will Fuller, we've never seen that.
Well, that's asking a lot. That's one of those things on the list that has to happen. And until it happens, I'm not going to buy it.
There's so many ifs. Like, if Aaron Colvin is what he was a few years ago, if Jonathan Joseph hasn't fallen all the way off the map, you know, there's just too. And at this point, I think you really have to also be saying, if J.J. Watt is healthy again, because
that's why I brought it up. Because
it's kind of been flip a coin if you're going to get a full season out of him or not. There's just so many ifs that. You know, you're asking all these things to, and we're not even saying, like, what if Deshaun Watson has a little bit of a regression? I mean, which happens to young quarterbacks. I don't think it'll happen. I mean, as long as
those
other ifs work out, I don't think, but yeah, what if Deshaun Watson were to get hurt? It's not like he's never gotten hurt before, and it's not like he's, you know, suddenly playing behind a good offensive line. There's so many questions, man.
Yeah,
so many.
And I mean, I think, even so, I think they could be marginally better. And have a worse record.
I think so too. Not
going to win all those close games, and they do have a tougher schedule. Now, the only positive to that, the rest of the division does too.
Yeah.
But I think going in, the Colts are better. Here's the other thing in the worst-case scenario. Let's say Nick Foles straightens out the Jaguars, and they're what they were 2 years ago.
Then it's scary. Let's say the Titans are better, which I don't think they will be.
I think the Titans are basically the Texans with lighter blue uniforms.
I don't even think there's a question who the best team in the division is.
I don't either. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I think now that the rust has been knocked off of Andrew Luck, I think
although the guy hasn't taken a snap now for 2 weeks because of a calf injury.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not worried about that because it's not related to his other
stuff.
Because
it's not his shoulder.
Yeah, as long as it's not his shoulder or his neck or something like that, I'm not too worried. Because if I'm him, I'm being
extremely
patient. But you know, that's the only concern for the Colts, in my opinion, is that keeping that guy upright all year.
And, but when you talk about ifs... The Colts have one if. If Andrew Luck is healthy, they're the best team in this division, I think.
I wouldn't dispute that.
All right. You know what else I wouldn't dispute? Where you can get the best hotel rates at? Besthotelrates.com.
That is the place to get the best hotel rates. And I'll tell you what. I was able to get a room in Saskatoon about a month and a half ago using besthotelrates.com.
They even work in Canada?
They even work in Canada. And
oh, jeez.
I was looking at going
to... Hosers.
Oh, jeez, yeah. Now, there's that poker tournament that was in Lauderdale today that I was going to go play, and I went to besthotelrates.com and I found a great rate and just had some other stuff come up that I couldn't get out of town. But, I mean, over 600,000 hotels around the world. You can't beat that. And the name says it all. It's besthotelrates.com.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Your programming tonight. couple people who filled in last week. Boston the Gloss at 7 in the Hall of Fame with Booker T and Brad at 9. So that was some interesting shows. Very different last week. I want to thank everybody who filled in. I thought Jermaine and Holly did a real nice job on the first day you were out. Jerome is just... Jerome's the closest thing to the Blitz when Jerome's here.
Oh, yeah.
And then Boston, we had Booker T and Brad. That was very... We actually took a few more calls than we usually take, and Booker was getting calls from all over the country.
Oh, he's very famous.
Yeah, it was interesting, and they were a lot of fun to do the show with. And then
he's become very famous since arriving here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean...
We actually don't have Boston Gloss tonight.
Oh, okay.
Right, ESPN National from 7 to 9.
Okay, so I should draw a line through that.
Yeah.
All right, so no Boston Gloss. But they did a good job, too. And then Patrick Creighton filled in. And then we had a lot of gambling talk with Jerry, Bo, and Josh on Friday. And we had Fezzik solo.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's... I don't want to say anything, but when Fezzik can actually... When you can actually get him involved in the conversation, he's got a lot of great stuff to say. So yeah, it was fun. And but, like I said, fill-ins are nice, but, you know... The Stones aren't the Stones when they have other people fill in.
Yeah.
So, there you go. 2A1 said, you touched on a bit, why are so many people that bullish on Deshaun Watson? He had an amazing stretch season one, but it wasn't like he set the world on fire last year. Actually, go back and look at his numbers. His numbers were pretty damn good, considering that he played a game with a busted lung, considering the beating he took. I said, some of it may be the line, but he rarely got past his first read. That's not exactly true, but a lot of those sacks were on him. There's no question. Trying to extend the play and hold the ball. But I think the guy is, if that's the worst you get out of him last year, you've got your quarterback. And I think he's only going to get better. Now, I don't know what his ceiling is with Bill O'Brien. And I would be willing to bet a small child that if you'd flip-flopped him and Mahomes, he'd have put up the same numbers in Kansas City
too.
That Mahomes did. But
that's about who ends up with the right coach.
And, you know, I think the guy's going to be really good. And, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I don't think I am in this case. And, I thought he was going to be the best player, best quarterback in that draft. I didn't think he was going to go 12th. But you know, just going back to when he played against Alabama and the things he did in both of those championship games, even the one they lost, I mean, to me, that's a guy with star potential. And he's got everything that you want in a quarterback. So I think he's going to be... Good. Nick says Watson's only the 10th quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards in his second year.
You're going to see more and more of that.
Yeah,
though.
I think almost anybody who plays a full season is almost going to put up 4,000 yards. That's just the way the league is now. I don't really find that a standard much anymore.
No.
And the reality is, you know, sometimes throwing for 5,500 yards or whatever isn't a good thing because you're behind all the time. Matt Schaub's year, where he threw for the 4,600.
Oh, yeah.
They were behind the whole time. I mean, He had to throw that much. So it is, I mean, numbers, statistics can mean whatever you want them to mean. You can pull them out to back up any argument you have on why you think this guy is good or why you think this guy is not good, with the exception of a guy like the season Mahomes had last year. I defy you to find a negative.
I mean, Jared Goff's thrown for 8,500 yards over the last two seasons. It's not as crazy. I mean, and I don't think Jared Goff's anywhere near a top five quarterback in this league, but that's the way the league is now. That's what you've got.
TDK, would you sacrifice another Watson ACL for another World Series win?
Sure.
Yeah, you would. I wouldn't. I don't. I just remember how, I mean, it was great celebrating the World Series, but then what? It was like having sex with bald Natalie Portman, and then she's gone. Then what? Football season sucked. It was
a big deal.
It was awful. It
big
was
deal.
Just awful. Because you knew nothing good was going to happen the rest of the year. So, I don't know. I'm still... I mean, I don't know. I don't think you have to sacrifice
But it. What's more important? Winning 11 games and losing in the first round of the playoffs or winning another World Series? We're ring collecting here in this city, Fred.
You already got one.
That's what we do here.
You know what? You already got
That's
one.
That's what we do.
Is there ever going to be
That's
one?
That's what we do as Braves fans. As Astros fans, we collect World Series rings.
Is it ever going to be as sweet as the first one, though?
No.
Okay.
But was the second one for the Rockets any less sweet than the first one, really?
Well, that one was a little different because of Drexler. I think that because, you know, the guy comes home and you, yeah, so it had a different feel to it.
It'll feel winning another world. We don't know this because we're from Houston, where it doesn't happen often. But I think, like, if we lived in a city where they won all the time, I don't think you get tired of it. I don't think Boston fan gets the Sox won another one. Boring. No, I think it's fun to win all the time. I don't think Patriots fans are like, we want another one. I wish we could just finish 4-12 and get a top draft pick just once. No, they like winning. It's fun to win every time.
Hundreds of thousands show up to those parades, and all of them fight each other.
I'm good with keep winning World Series. I don't care what else.
Can we not have both though? Can we not have a World Series and an 11-5 first round playoff loss? Is it too much to ask?
Yes, in this scenario.
We're creating an either or scenario when there doesn't need to be one.
That's what was presented to us.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't mean it has to be.
I'm not saying it has to be, but he said, "Would you sacrifice another Watson ACL for another World Series win?"
And I'm just like, what?
If that were the option presented to you, if a wizard came here today and said, "This is what I can offer you, Mr. Fowler,"
I'd ask for some other stuff first.
No, this was his only deal. He's a very specialized wizard who only deals with ACLs and World Series championships.
First off, buddy, let's talk about improving my appearance, and then you can ask me that question.
What do you mean? You've got almost a head full of hair now.
You know what? It's coming in nicely.
It needs to come in a little more because your haircut situation is really odd right now.
But that's the problem, is because I have to wait for certain parts of it to grow out before I can cut it.
Yeah.
So it's very uneven. But once that happens, I'm going to kind of even it out, and then I'm just going to grow it as long as it'll go. But yeah, I think
you're going to grow it like your rock star days.
I'm going to try.
I wouldn't do that. You need to still have a conservative look.
Why do I have to be conservative?
Because I've
seen long haired conservatives.
Let me try to put this nicely. A man of your experience in life, it's usually not a good look if you try to go too hip, too young.
Well, it's not a young look. If I let it grow like really long, I'm going to just let it stay gray. And then I'll look like kind of old creepy dude.
You should put it in dreadlocks, maybe.
No, I won't have enough for dreadlocks.
Or cornrows.
No, I don't know.
I've always thought you would look good in cornrows.
I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet, but it already looks better. And
How's your confidence?
My confidence is, I feel like I've gone from a solid 3 to a 5.
Okay.
I feel like a real 5 right now. It does make a difference. You know, you could... Because I do look younger,
yeah,
and so once it really gets right,
does your wife like it?
Well, yeah, yes and no.
Yes and no.
Well, she kind of was a little harsh on me at first because there were wounds, right?
Well, yeah, yeah.
And so she did say,
"I'm glad I missed a week of it, because if I had seen you with like." You know, head wounds for a whole week, I would have probably given you grief too.
Yeah, well, and so that's the thing. But now she's kind of coming around like, hey, this could be pretty cool.
Okay.
But then she's also realizing that maybe other women will think I'm attractive now and she might have some confidence.
I mean, not that many could possibly.
No, I mean, 4, maybe 5.
And I mean, she doesn't even think you're attractive. Well, so no, it's not like that's suddenly a factor on who will have sex with you.
No, that's all true.
All right, guys, listen, summertime's almost over. Kids are going to be back in school, and you know that you want your kid to, you want him to thrive. And this summer, you've had him playing basketball outside on a crappy goal that was crooked, and he's going to get to school. And when he tries out for the team, he's not going to make it because he's having to adjust all his jump shots. He doesn't know how to play on a normal, like a real hoop. That's why you go to produnkhoops.com. And get him out there, get her out there practicing. I mean, WNBA players can make six-figure salaries. So get him out there on the best goal on the planet. Pro Dunk Hoops are manufactured exclusively by Hoop Sporting Equipment, superior to any goal you'll find on the market. Thickest steel, a backboard so strong that Hoops guarantees if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they're going to replace it for free. And they've got a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard, wherever you're going to set it up. They've got a fully portable goal. You've got it. They got it covered for you. And of course, they're going to customize it to whatever you need. And they're adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet with just a turn of a handle. So if you got a young buck, he can play. He can learn the right way. He can, you know, get out there and actually make some shots, which will make him want to play. Guys, you got to go with Hoops when you're looking for a goal. Get your new Hoops goal today. See it all at produnkhoops.com. That's produnkhoops.com. 281-351-9822 for Pro Dunk Hoops.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.